you will know, if you've been part of the family for a little while, that we are doing our we are the people of God. We are the people of God. And we've got our series, which is Bible readings, daily Bible readings, Monday to Friday, and Sunday teachings. And what they're doing is they are exploring who we are as the church and what we're called to do and what God wants to do through us. So we've got the river thing. I don't know, what do you call it? I call it a whirligig. Who
they
knows?
Call it the wheel.
A wheel, the river wheel. And what we've been doing is we've been, we are going to be exploring this. We have been, each one of these we are exploring. So if you can give me the next one, Emma. We started with the why is River Church here? We are here to bring the life of Jesus and his kingdom wherever we are. That's why we're here, guys. And how do we do that? We do that by looking on the face of Christ, by loving everyone we meet, and by living like heaven is near. And in the last couple of weeks, I know you're a bit out of sync, we've done looking on the face of Christ, loving everyone we meet. And today is we bring the life of Jesus and his kingdom by living like heaven is near. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. But the whole thing starts with looking on the face of Christ. That's where we began there. Because unless we're people who spend time doing what we did this morning, just being in his presence, receiving from him, enjoying who he is, hearing him speak, hearing him change our thoughts, and who we are as people, transforming us from glory to glory. It's real hard for us to live like heaven is near. So it all starts there. It's really hard to love people as well. I think that's true. So today we're on living like heaven is near, our little strapline is that we're river people, we expect God to work powerfully with us and through us as we work with him to bring life. And that's kind of where we're at with that. And yeah, I just want to say to you today, I am not here with all the answers on this. So I'm in the middle of this really practically at the moment. My sister, who's 6 years younger than me, was 4 weeks ago diagnosed with terminal cancer. Advanced stomach cancer and liver cancer, out of the blue, from nowhere, literally from nowhere. There's nothing they can do for her particularly. She has a few months left to live. They're giving us a chemo to hope she'll have a few more months. But that's where we are in our family. And it's like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? How am I going to bring the life of Jesus and his kingdom in that situation? How am I going to look on his face? How am I going to love everyone I meet, my sister, my mum, the people involved, and how am I going to live like heaven is near? So for me, this whole series has just taken on this incredible poignancy, and it's made me go back to God and say, what is this? What is this? How do we do this? So let's have a quick whiz through, live like heaven is near. So if you've been reading the readings, you'll know one of them was from Genesis, where we see God creating the story of God creating the earth, and he separates the heavens and the earth. And we get a sense that actually he's not really greatly happy about that, because everything else he creates, he says, is good. That he doesn't, because God wants to be with us. But he's given us free will. He respects our freedom, but his desire is to be with us. And we see that in the garden story in Genesis, where he walks with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. God wants to be with us, just like we were spending time with him then. But we know, don't we, in the story, that we decided to do our thing. We decided to be our people, not his people. And we decided to live independently. And you see the whole sweep of the story of the Old Testament, God, this God who's calling us back as his people, wanting to bring us back, to love us, to bring us into a love relationship. You see that through all the stories of the people in the Bible that we explored actually over last year's series. And the Jews cry out for Messiah, and Jesus comes at just the right time. And in Jesus, we're told he's fully God, fully man. Heaven and earth come back together, the way God always intended it to be, in his son Jesus as he walks the earth. And Jesus models what the kingdom of God, what the heavenly realm, what heaven looks like here on earth. We see him receiving the Holy Spirit. We have those amazing passages where John baptizes Jesus. The heavens are open, the Spirit comes down on him. We see him healing people. Everywhere he went, Jesus healed everybody who came to him. We see him setting people free from demonic control. We see him welcoming everybody, inclusively, no matter who they were, what their background was, what they've done. Jesus welcomed them. And he announces, and I think this is fantastic, this is Jesus' message from the Passion Translation. I love the Passion Translation. It's the best one. He says this: at last the fulfillment of the age has come. It is time for the realm of God's kingdom to be experienced in its fullness. Turn your lives back to God and put your trust in the hope-filled gospel. And that bit in white, it is time for the realm of God's kingdom to be experienced in its fullness. He says that to us today. It's time, people, for the realm of God's kingdom to be experienced in its fullness. And you know, Jesus came, he modelled compassion, grace, sacrifice, love, righteousness, joy, compassion, holiness. But he also, and all of those things are a little bit more accessible for us, but he also modelled something else. He trained his disciples to go out and do in his name what he did. And he actually told them they'd do even greater things than he did. He sent them out to minister, and he said, as you go, preach this message. And I should have put this bit in white. Heaven's kingdom realm is accessible. That's what he says to us today. Heaven's kingdom realm is accessible. It is close enough to touch. I love this. You must continually bring healing to lepers and to those who are sick. Make it your habit to break off the demonic presence from people, to raise the dead back to life. Freely you have received the power of the kingdom. He says that to every one of us who know him today. Freely you have received the power of the kingdom. I don't know if you feel like that. We don't have to feel it. It's the truth. If we've received his spirit, we receive the power of the kingdom. So freely release it to others. Live like heaven is near. And I love it. You don't need a lot of money. We tend to think unless we can do things big with big programs and stuff, we can't be effective. But we can. We are us filled with the power of God through his Holy Spirit. And we freely receive it. And he calls us to freely release it because his kingdom is here and he wants it to expand. And, you know, Jesus died, rose again, left, but then sent his spirit to be with his disciples. And his Holy Spirit within them, within us, is the thing, the person that brings the power, the presence, the glory of the kingdom. And, you know, Jesus tells us to pray that the kingdom of heaven comes. Teach the Lord's Prayer, you'll all know it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I love the Passion Translation of that. I've got one, I think. Manifest your kingdom realm. God, let the kingdom come. Let it come here and now through us. And cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth, just as it is fulfilled in heaven. It is God's will to bring healing, deliverance, freedom on earth, just as it is in heaven. So just as heaven met earth in Jesus, heaven meets earth in you. So as we've received the Holy Spirit, you are a point where heaven and earth meet. And I love this phrase. Bill Johnson says, Holy Spirit is in you as a river, not as a lake. So he's in us to flow out of us as a river. And, you know, River Church's founding scriptures are wherever the river flows, there will be life. It's that river of the Spirit. He's in us as a river to flow out, not as a lake that kind of wells up and we keep it here like this. And as we learn to host the presence of God, as we learn to look on the face of Christ, we discover we can change the world around us and the circumstances around us through the presence of God within us and the power of the Holy Spirit. Bill Johnson says, we were born to confront the impossible. who we are, born to confront the impossible with the power of God, to change things around us that seem beyond us. They are, but they're not beyond him. It's another little quote that there's absolutely no situation that God doesn't have a solution for. We can have hope in every circumstance because God is not surprised by things. He's not scared of them. He's not without answers. And he has equipped us. Ta-da! How do you? Yes. Paul prays this: I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power. The immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honour and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. That power is the power that lives in you and lives in me. It does, because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Kind of a bit mind-bending, isn't it? It's one of those things you need to go and lie down in a dark room with a towel over your head and think about. But that is the truth. And the enemy wants to keep us so small and wants us to believe it's just us and we're rubbish. And what can we do and how can we change things? The Holy Spirit within us, flowing out of us like a river, can change everything because of the mighty power that's in us. So how do we live like heaven is near? Jesus modelled it. First of all, we receive the Holy Spirit. And we receive the Holy Spirit when we give our hearts to Jesus. We get baptised in the Holy Spirit when we ask him to come, maybe for the first time. But we are continually filled with the Holy Spirit every day as we ask him, because he wants to dwell with us. I love this reading that there was, a little verse from our readings this week. Jesus said, my Father will love you so deeply that we will come and make you our dwelling place. The Father will love you, each one of you, he loves you so deeply that he's come to make you his dwelling place. So it's not dependent on how good you are. It's not dependent on anything other than his love, his unending, uncompromising, utter love for you. That's who he is. He loves. And he has come and made his home with you when you invite him into your heart. And secondly, we need to step out and intentionally pursue bringing the kingdom. We need to be rivers, not lakes. Here's a Bill Johnson quote. Don't stop short of divine encounters because you're satisfied with theology. So we can sit and go, oh, that's nice, that sounds good, I like that. But we fall short of actually experiencing it unless we step out. We need to pursue encounters because they won't just come to us. I love this. God expands our understanding so that we can see where our faith can go. Revelation reveals our inheritance and faith explores it. That's interesting, isn't it? So we learn these things, God reveals these things to us so that in partnership with him, through our faith, we can go explore them and see them come to reality. Jesus gave us authority, his authority, we have his authority. Read Ephesians 1. We're seated in the heavenly places. He has all things under his feet. All principalities, all powers under his feet. We are his body. They are under us too. We are seated next to him. That's the authority that we have to go and exercise. And I love, again, this is from Bill Johnson. He says, so what happens when it doesn't happen? What do we do when it doesn't happen? So I am praying for my sister to be healed. I just believe God has just given me a real gift of faith for that to happen. But I have been really closely involved with four other people who have died of cancer over the years. My son, one of my closest friends, another of my close friends who I worked with, Jan, who you'll all know, a lot of you will know, people who I put my whole heart into, I prayed with regularly, I believed God for, and they died. So what do I do with that when I have this new situation? Do I adjust my theology because of my disappointment? So do I go, yeah, well, it didn't work then, and I tried to put my whole heart into that, means, okay, so it wasn't God's will to heal. Or it was then, but not now, or there's something wrong with me, or something wrong with him, or he sends it for a reason. We try to rationalise it instead of looking at it and going, Psalm 103 says, he forgives all my sins. We none of us doubt that, do we? He heals all my diseases. He rescues my life from destruction. That's who God is. He heals all my diseases. Jesus healed everyone who came to him. He heals all my diseases. When I don't see that in practice, that it's not a fault of his. It's I need to press in to see him, to know him, to experience his presence, to release him even more in circumstances. We're on a journey of faith, which he does not condemn us for. He walks with us in. And I just refuse to change my theology to cope with my disappointment. I need to look at my disappointment and go, God, I'm disappointed. What went wrong? Walk me through this another time. And so with my sister, that's what I've done. I've gone to God and I've gone, this is hard, God. 4 times I've walked this. This is number 5. Am I going to shout back and go, no. You know what, I'm just going to not go there. Or am I going to go, no, he calls me to live like heaven is near. And I'm going to go for it. And God, if in this journey, I don't yet reach it, doesn't yet, the kingdom doesn't come, I refuse to believe that you aren't good. I refuse to believe that you don't heal, because you do and you are. And I will live in that mystery of his kingdom coming but didn't quite come here. That's a mystery that I live in. That's where our faith is. That's what faith's for, living in that mystery. So, we cannot allow bad teaching and disappointment to cause us to settle for a lifestyle that falls short of what we're called to. I honestly believe that. We're called to be people who pioneer and journey as a people of God into more and more of who he is and what he wants to bring for our world, because he's the answer. He is the answer. So, in conclusion, 3 minutes to go. The kingdom is coming, and one day it will fill the whole earth. The kingdom of heaven started invading through Jesus. It continues to come through us who choose to follow Jesus as he fills us with his spirit, guides us, teaches us, reveals himself to us, and empowers us through his spirit to do what he did in bringing healing, deliverance, reconciliation, for the whole world. Let me just show you to finish just a picture. This will be a bit weird. This is a photo of Le Château de Vaux-le-Vicomte. Get me. And Jonathan, I took this picture. And Jonathan and I visited this the week after my sister was diagnosed with cancer. We had already got a week booked on holiday in France. We went anyway. It was a tough week. There were some good bits of relaxation, but our hearts were very full of what was going on. And we went to this place, and I sat and took a phone call from my mum talking about my sister's situation as I looked at that. And God really spoke to me. And that was built by a guy called Nicolas Fouquet in the 17th century. He bought that as a derelict hut and loads of land. And he actually built that entire thing, and it was revolutionary and groundbreaking. It had never been done before. Versailles was the principles of that Versailles was built from. The grounds and everything were all to do with mathematics and physics, as well as creativity and horticulture. And it was like nobody had ever done anything like it before. He put his whole life and all his fortune into it. He actually never got to live in it finished, because he was imprisoned by Louis the 14th. Get me? Because I could tell you a story about one, because I'm out of time. And he was imprisoned, and his wife couldn't finish it, and she left it, and people finished it after him. But it stands there as, like, this was his legacy. Now, if I tell you, it takes 88 people to run that every year, and it costs 7 million euros, and without all of that expenditure and effort, it would just crumble. And I sat looking at it thinking, how sad that that was what he put his life into. A building that will ultimately crumble, that he actually never got to live in or see finished. He wanted it to be his legacy. I thought, God, we can make weird things our legacies on this earth. But how about if our legacy was to build the eternal kingdom of God here on this earth? How about if we live like heaven is near and that's the legacy that we leave? Changed lives, changed societies, changed communities. That's our call. Not to build something like that, but to build the eternal kingdom of God. So I just want to finish just with that challenge, really, that what are we building? Are we going to be people who release the kingdom of God, who live like heaven is near, bringing the life of Jesus and his kingdom wherever we go? Will we be courageous? Will we press into him, look on his face? Will we love everyone we meet? And will we extend the power of the kingdom to him? Amen.